JC Corcoran Podcast.
The winning team always gives the losing team a lot of credit. You got to give them a lot of credit. They came to play. They got a good team over there and a good squad. If we weren't perfect, I don't know if we would have won this game. They should hold their heads up high. You got to give them a lot of credit. I wonder if that news ever gets to the losers' locker room. Great news, fellas. I just came from the winners' locker room. I am not making this up. They are giving you a lot of credit. I'm telling you. I was just there. I got here as quickly as I could, but it was hard with the balloons and the confetti and all the champagne in my eyes. I was bouncing off walls to share the fantastic news. You're getting a lot of credit for their championship. And they've invited all of you to come over and kiss their rings. You guys are great. Thank you.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Monday, February 14th, 2022. 269 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. How you doing, kids? It's JC. It's Valentine's Day. It's the morning after, which is great. Football is over now. That means that baseball can... Oh, yeah, that's right. This morning weather chick on Fox 2, I swear to God, she's got three dresses, and I think they're all the same style. Buy one, get two free? Lynn? Maybe they're not paying. I know they're not paying her much. So we'll do all the Valentine's Day stuff in the second half of the podcast today. Let's get the Super Bowl stuff out of the way. What did I notice? Well, first of all, they had the camera on the wrong singer in the pregame thing. They're getting ready to start the national anthem. Somebody's going to get fired for that. You know, we like The Rock. I think I ignored him up until about a year ago. And then taking my daughter to see some of his movies, and it's like, you know what, this guy's really good at what he does. It's not my cup of tea, but if it were, you'd have to give credit to him because he's really, really good at he's sort of perfected that guy, and he does a good job. But having said all that, that intro before the football game yesterday was 100% WWE. I don't know what the hell is going on. Al Michaels introduced Chris Collinsworth in the pregame show yesterday for the last time, quote unquote. It could be the last time you hear Al Michaels do a football game. He's sort of been kept in limbo here. And I think Al Michaels is, what, 78 right now? Give me a call, Al. Get you started on a podcast. You know, Mike Tirico, the artist in waiting here. And I really like Tirico, at least I did up until last night when he was kissing Stan Kroenke's ass. Ugh. And the refs, I don't know what was going on, but they sure missed a lot of big plays yesterday. I don't think ultimately it would have mattered. You can argue that point. They only called two penalties in the first 58 minutes of the game, and then the final 2 minutes, it looked like that ceremony they always have at the, what is it, the Naval Academy, where the guys graduate and then all the hats go flying in the air. In this case, it was flags. But that no call on T. Higgins in the third quarter, where he just grabbed Jalen Ramsey's face mask and just turned his head around like it was a scene out of The Exorcist. I don't know how they missed that. And I don't know about you, but that Matthew Stafford pass from the 8-yard line, I didn't see any contact there. Rams ended up getting the first down. Now, you could argue that that call really was a game changer. The Rams lost the coin toss before the game and then won. That is notable because the loser of the opening coin toss has now won the last 8 Super Bowls. Sean McVay, youngest coach ever to win. He's 36 and 20 days old. And even the Bengals coach, Zach Taylor, the second youngest coach in the NFL at 38. Stafford set a new record, having the most regular season losses as starting quarterback before winning his first Super Bowl. The Rams were up 13-10 at halftime. They're now 48-1 when leading at the half under Coach McVay. No team had ever won a Super Bowl in their home stadium until last year when Tom Brady and the Bucs did it. And now L.A. did it in their stadium. So that's two in a row. For what it's worth, next year's Super Bowl is going to be held in Arizona. You absolutely could see a scenario where the Arizona Cardinals would be in the Super Bowl. The wife of Rams receiver Van Jefferson went into labor during the Super Bowl. She was at the game and had to leave on a stretcher. He left the hospital right after the game. So he has the pleasure of winning the Super Bowl, the pinnacle, and then he can't even party because he's got to go off to the hospital. Oh, and by the way, if you're the quarterback and your wife is at the game, or if you're even engaged, I'd even accept that. You get the shot of the wife or the fiance sitting in the stands. But if the girl is just somebody's girlfriend, I don't think you get to be put on TV. You got to have a little more skin in the game than that. And you can't have a Super Bowl without some big controversy. And here it comes. My personal feeling, and I've said this many times, that 20 years from now, Colin Kaepernick is going to be looked at very much like Kurt Flood, somebody who did something that was perceived as being extraordinarily unpopular and controversy at the time that he did it. But in retrospect, yeah, people will look back and realize that what he did was something that had to be done. JC, how can you say that? He's disrespecting the flag! No, that's what Fox News says. Colin Kaepernick never said anything about disrespecting the troops or disrespecting the flag. He didn't have to, because Brian Kilmeade did the rest. There's police injustice in this country against minorities, and there are all sorts of other instances in this country where it's about goddamn time some things change. Colin Kaepernick says, I'm going to take a knee to try to attract attention to all this stuff, and people lose their fucking minds. I'm telling you, 20 years from now, I might not be here, but you will. And you remember that I said this on Valentine's Day 2022. Halftime. Okay, so let me put it this way. If it was a country act, I probably wouldn't have paid much attention to it. Maybe I'd have it on in the background. I want to judge something I haven't seen, but I don't think I'd be very excited about it. Okay, so this music they did last night, not my idea of a good time. But I had it on while I was, getting something to eat, running in and out of the house and walking the dog. You come back in, and you're like, oh, they're dancing around. That's interesting, I guess, to some people. And again, if you're from that era, if you were in high school, especially when all this music was out, you're probably pretty excited about the show last night. And for the rest of us, it was like I said, as if a country act was out there. I'm just not interested. But to be losing your fucking mind again, people wake up in the morning and they immediately go into a three-point stance, getting ready to pounce on the first thing that they don't agree with. But the amount of vitriol that gets generated by, never mind. By the way, the NFL says they knew. There was an initial report that the NFL didn't have any idea that Eminem was going to drop to a knee. And then within minutes, they corrected that and said, no, we knew. We knew he was going to do it. So now they'll take a lot of heat. Oh, and by the way, the whole chicks on the sideline, calling them sideline reporters, that whole thing is over. Nobody ever says anything. They have a deal with the league that in these big playoff games, the coaches have to talk to the sideline reporter before they go into the tunnel. They get two questions. And like I said, I find it very patronizing for women to have to sort of stand on the sidelines and pretend that they're providing some sort of key element to the broadcast. But maybe it's something that represents a slow conditioning. If you just took a woman and threw her in the broadcast booth, people would lose their minds. Maybe they figure, all right, we'll start them on the sideline, do that for a couple of years, move them up to the mezzanine level. That would be fun. Instead of sidelines where, no coaches say anything anymore. The players don't say anything anymore. Maybe after the game a little bit, but during the game, their mind is on business. This is their job. And they don't want to provide the opposition with anything that's going to motivate them. So this is just so dry. And the word useless comes to town. Now you put the reporter up in the mezzanine level where the party boxes are, and you're going around and talk to those people. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here, you know? And I'm sorry, Erin Andrews is a ditz. And she's attractive, I guess, but these people just like go, oh my God, Erin Andrews. I don't see it. I'm not saying she's ugly or anything. I'm just saying she's better than average good-looking woman on the sideline. And I was about to say she doesn't embarrass herself on camera until you have seen her commercial for whatever car that is that she's selling. The only two observations she makes about the car is that the car fits her vibe, it's her words, and that you can take her cell phone and put it on this little pad in the center of the lower half of the dashboard, and she can charge her phone that way. That's how I pick out cars. Where can I plug in my phone? And does it fit my vibe? Tell that to the sales guy. I'm a little surprised by all these people who start chirping about the games being fixed. Predetermined, whatever word it is you want to use, that might be going over the top just a little bit. All right, as far as the commercials are concerned, it's $7 million for a 30-second spot, matched only in stupidity by somebody who would spend $50,000 for a ticket. And the beauty of the whole thing is parking's not included. They already stick you for $50,000 for a ticket to see the game. You'd think it would come with parking. Nah, this is the Super Bowl. But at least you could get in and out of the place. Man, I'm telling you, U-Man and I went to the Super Bowl down in New Orleans with the Rams. It was the first year, the first Super Bowl after 9/11. And you want to talk about security checkpoints. Holy shit. You couldn't walk 30 feet without having to take out your ID and having everything that was on your person examined. John and I underwent so many invasive pat-downs, came back to St. Louis and both got pregnancy tests. Good morning, everybody. Well, that was a weird stage for the halftime show last night. I guess they were trying to do some sort of urban-looking thing. I found it to be a distraction myself. I think the commercial for, I think it was for Amazon, where the little device was reading the minds of Colin Jost of Saturday Night Live and Scarlett Johansson, they're married. I would have put that maybe higher on the list, but they released it last week, so I'd already seen it. So by the time it aired last night, it's like, yeah, it's really good, but I already saw it. I really thought it lost its effectiveness because of that. Now, the other one that was really funny was Paul Rudd and Seth Rogen doing the wedding flashback thing. And they flashback to all these momentous occasions in their lives, including where they thought maybe their plane was going to go down. And it was like that scene in Almost Famous, which Nancy Wilson told us here on the show actually did happen to Hart early on in their career, where they thought the plane was going down and everybody started, I love you, man. I love you. You mean so much to me. I'll never forget you. All this time. And then the plane lands safely and people are like, where's my, is that my bag there? Can you get that for me? But in the excitement, Paul Rudd says, he confesses, Seth Rogen says, I have never seen any of your movies. And Seth Rogen says, even the ones that we're in together? Thought the Larry David crypto commercial, very good. The avocado one that spoofed the Roman Empire, I thought that was good. Jim Carrey as the cable guy was a little weird. He was wearing some sort of weird makeup or something. I guess they were trying to make him look younger, and it was a distraction. I guess we got to get Netflix, Peacock, and Paramount now, because I can't miss all those great shows they were showing clips of last night. Oh, the Mike Myers thing, Dr. Evil. That was okay.
Yeah, I sound like Jay Leno. That's all right.
I think the best piece all night was the actual NFL promo with the animation. You know, but ultimately, it could be the best television commercial ever produced. But if it's not for something I'm in the market for, I don't need another car right now, and I won't for a real, real long time. Very happy with what I'm driving from Weber Chevrolet. My wife has a Jeep, so I can take that out. That's a lot of fun to tool around in that thing. But a lot of the commercials were for things I don't need or don't want. And I don't care who you are. Even if you are Morgan Freeman on the plane, I've seen the movie Midnight Express. I ain't going to no fucking country of Turkey. Forget about it. You know, speaking of halftime, people may forget. I was just talking about this a moment ago. The Super Bowl in New Orleans at the Superdome with the Rams many, many moons ago. Officer Sam Dotson, who for a long time was married to our producer co-host Karen Kelly. They ended up splitting up. But back in the day when they were still together, Sam Dotson was on security detail, and he was assigned to shadow Bono. U2 was the halftime act that year. I think he would tell you that was a hell of a lot more fun than the whole Ferguson thing, because he was stuck in the middle of that whole thing. By the way, people have said, whatever happened to Officer Sam Dotson? He is the head of security for Amtrak and lives in Washington, D.C. now. I'm told he's doing very well. Oh, yeah, here's dickhead speech. Go ahead, Stan, start yakking.
Stan, you brought your Rams back to Los Angeles. You built the world's greatest stadium.
Your Rams.
You brought together.
They weren't his Rams then.
And now you've won Super Bowl 56.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations. The Vince Lombardi Trophy is staying in Rams' house.
Stan Kroenke, the owner, congratulations. I know so much of the stadium, all that you invested in this team, the talent around us, has a feeling to get your hands on.
$5 billion stadium.
That trophy.
Well, it's amazing, and
whoa.
Just really proud of this group. We talk about these players. They're unbelievable, and they just hung in there. It was a tough game, and just so proud of them.
Yeah, it was the fucking Super Bowl, dickhead. Of course it's
executing
a tough game
like they did. Thanks to the great fans of Los Angeles, their first Super Bowl trophy in Rams' house.
Hand that over to your coach.
Yeah, Stan's doing shtick now. See him at open mic night at the Funny Bone. I hear he could use some extra money, like about $750 million. By the way, you saw Mike Myers in that commercial last night during the Super Bowl. No Dana Carvey on this one. They have put their differences aside. You know, Dana got mad at Mike Myers because, well, there are a couple of things that happened. It started when Mike Myers wrote the script for the first Wayne's World, and he basically ignored Dana Carvey's ideas and then relegated his character Garth to just a supporting role. And Dana was like, well, we could have done so much more with this character. And then when Mike made Austin Powers, he borrowed, if you will, Dana's impersonation of Lorne Michaels as Dr. Evil, and that had been an impression that Dana Carvey had been doing for years, and he just figured, fuck it. And they didn't really talk for close to 20 years, but everything's all patched up now. We lost Ivan Reitman Saturday night. He produced Animal House, made Meatballs with Bill Murray, very underrated movie, Ghostbusters. How great was Stripes, Twins, Kindergarten Cop, Old School, Beethoven. And I don't think there's any question that his best work was Hometowner Kevin Kline in Dave. I got a chance to interview him a couple of times. Nice guy, you know, means business. His family escaped from Czechoslovakia when he was 4 years old. The Nazis came in and they got out just in time. 75 years old. He was not one of those guys like Harold Ramis. You know, he made these movies that sometimes were perceived as just being silly comedies. But you know what? All of the movies had some sort of heart to them. You got one less of those kind of directors making movies now. A rapper by the name of Kodak Black shot in the leg early Saturday morning coming out of a Super Bowl party with Justin Bieber. All right, some of the late night shows are coming back tonight. They were off last week as the Olympics kicked off, and it's probably just as well, too, because Olympic numbers are way, way down. Kimmel's got Seth Rogen, Jeffrey Wright on with Colbert. James Corden is Jenny Slate. Fallon and Seth Meyers all preempted because of the Olympics. Birthdays today, Rob Thomas, Matchbox 20, is 50 today. Former quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, 62, Jim Kelly. Teller, as in Penn and Teller, 74 today. Carl Bernstein, one half of Woodstein, Woodward and Bernstein, who uncovered the Watergate scandal back in the day, 78. Michael Bloomberg, billionaire and former mayor of New York City, is 80. And look who's having his 74th birthday today, former Access Hollywood host, Pat O'Brien.
Working it.
Saved message Sunday, 8:34.
Well, I should actually preface this by, this is the woman's...
It's dirty.
Well, no.
Yeah. warn everybody you might feel like, you know, showering afterwards.
This is the woman's answering machine. So she's playing back these things for the media right off the answering machine. Mm-hmm. I guess it was supposed to add to the credibility to say, look, I didn't even touch this. I didn't edit this. Here it is. Here's the answering machine. Mm-hmm. Here's how they came in. So you're actually going to hear the time and date stamp that the answering machine puts on. All right, now listen.
So copy. Saved message Sunday, 8:34 p.m.
Can I just interrupt this for a minute? Does anybody know, has this ever worked?
I'm going to go with no.
This method, this
unless
style.
Unless you're buying somebody for the evening, it probably won't work.
I just want to know, has anybody ever done something like this, this graphic and this direct, including basically saying, I need you to requisition the other chick too. Has anybody ever tried this and it's worked?
Does it work? Well, you probably would have to be like a big old movie star, not Pat O'Brien. God.
But he talks to movie stars.
Gross.
That's second. All right, here we go. Continuing now.
For a living. Saved message Sunday, 9:04 p.m.
Hey, it's me. You're so f***ing hot.
It's not like, hi, how are you?
Just like, all of a sudden, not into it, but the three of us to get together, I want to f***.
Right, we know, we know. Right.
There's only so many holes, Pat.
Right. Watch each other.
Uh-huh.
Suck my
oh, boy.
Oh, okay.
Lollipop?
Man, how old is this guy?
So you get this message.
57, I believe. Crazy. Let me know.
Yeah. I watch you guys make out.
Make out. What is he, 12?
I get this message. If you agree with me. Cool. My phone doesn't take messages, by the way.
Let's get a hooker and play spin the bottle.
Any of these
7 minutes in heaven.
Let's drop clothespins into a milk bottle. Or pin the tail on the donkey. So there you have it.
No, don't bring an animal into it.
And then
hookers is so great.
Coke, and that's quite enough. No animals.
He's so great. Why listen to this tape, everybody.
Yeah. Isn't he romantic? I think it's like so sweet that he says this stuff
to me.
He's
too good to be true.
You've got to hear this.
He's so
he loves me.
Hot.
Pat O'Brien, man, back
God,
on television.
God, it makes me feel gross.
You can apparently do anything now. You just go into rehab, do an interview with Dr. Phil or Oprah, and go back
Cry
on television.
About it, and then
go
you're
back
good.
On television, and you're good. You can get away with anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going on out there.
Yep.
Even with politicians, they say, well, all you got to do is say you're sorry anymore, and people will forgive you.
Yep.
We got to stop forgetting these
people. We got a bunch of dumbasses. Yeah. There's no more shame anymore.
Start
That's what it
grudges.
Is.
Yeah, you're right.
There's no more shame. And you start holding grudges. There you go.
Yes. You've been trying to bring us along those lines for a long time.
Ladies and gentlemen, there it is. I raised her like my own. Jen Sparks has finally come around.
We've got to start harboring more hate.
And 13 years ago, they canceled that show. I guess it just wasn't entertaining enough, even though I can play that back 13 years later, and everybody's got tears in their eyes. It's how funny it was. All right, Valentine's Day.
You got to have the right woman, boy. That's the answer, the right woman. After you make love to the right woman, Johnny, it's beautiful, beautiful. I mean, the last time I made love to my wife, it was ridiculous. Nothing was happening. I looked at her, I said, what's the matter? Can't you think of anyone either?
The human heart is the most important, the most emotional organ in your body. It's where all your love and your romance is kept.
What you trying to do to my heart?
Barely hear my heart beating.
I would really appreciate it if you would wish my husband Keith a happy Valentine's Day and tell him I love him. He never used to be the romantic type until just a few weeks ago. Lately, I found chocolates on my pillow, love notes in my car, in my purse, and on the mirrors. He calls me just to say I love you. And the last two Fridays, he's shown up at my work with flowers. He has turned into the most romantic person. He has made me very happy, and I love him. Thanks. Karen, we all read this, and we've come to one conclusion. Your husband is having an affair, okay? We just wanted to point that out, but thanks for listening.
Here's my marriage quiz. Your wife comes in and says, do you think I look fat? Do you say A, yeah, you could lose a few. B, no, honey, you've never looked better. Or C, wait, let me get my protective headgear. Well, some of you might have been encouraged to be honest about your feelings. That's what happened to me, and I said, A, yeah, you could lose a few. And as they say in the nature specials, when the wildebeest leaves the herd, sadly now, there can be but one outcome.
You know, I'm at that age where everybody I know is getting married. Let me ask you a question. Why the hell do people keep getting married? You know, isn't anybody looking at the stats? I mean, what's it like? One out of two marriages go right down the drain now? People, if you were going skydiving and they told you half the parachutes weren't going to open, you'd be like, yo, forget it. I'm not going. I don't like those odds. I got a 50% chance of splatting on the ground. I'm not doing it. But there's something about getting married. People just have to do it, right? They're just like, is this the line to lose half my stuff? Awesome!
Thank you, Bill Burr. Well, St. Valentine wasn't just one person. There's at least three men named Valentine that could have inspired Valentine's Day, so the origin story is unknown. Hallmark's Valentine's Day greeting cards first appeared on store shelves back in 1916. The company's founder, J.C. Hall, began selling Valentine's Day postcards earlier, though, in 1910. The first heart-shaped box of chocolates debuted in 1861. Conversation hearts got their start as medical lozenges. A Boston pharmacist invented a machine to make medical lozenges, but then he switched it over to making circular candies with it. This was in 1847. His brother came up with the idea of the heart-shaped things. Google Trends looked at the romantic things we're Googling more than usual. Romantic getaway number one, romantic restaurant next, and then romantic movies. And Denny's is giving couples the chance to get married for free in Las Vegas today. A Denny's next to the Golden Nugget Casino has a small chapel. Normally costs $200 to get married there. It comes with a t-shirt and a free Grand Slam breakfast because nothing says I love you more than a grease fire. A lot of people, because of the Super Bowl yesterday and this being a Monday, they celebrated Valentine's Day over the weekend. Like the two sisters who got into a drunken, half-naked brawl at Disney World. One of them puked. They both slipped in it while they were fighting and fell into some bushes. The one who puked took her dress off, so she was wearing only underwear, sandals, and no bra. They continued to fight until security broke it up. One's 29, the other one's 31. They're both from New Jersey. I didn't see that coming. This all happened outside the Cirque du Soleil tent. By the way, destination weddings are coming back. New report said the best place to get married, if you're not going to do it in your hometown, is Orlando, Florida, followed by Vegas, Miami, and Knoxville, Tennessee. About 9 million proposals will happen today. Around half of Americans think it's romantic to propose on Valentine's Day, and 9% of Americans are going to buy flower or candy for themselves.
today.
Is it true that you've been married to the same woman twice?
Yeah.
And so you were married once, and then you got a divorce.
Yeah, and couldn't help myself. What we ended up doing was hanging out all the time.
Right.
You know, because we really didn't know how to really be apart.
Right.
It's just that when we were married and living in the house and all of that, it was just that we didn't know how to do that. My parents are married 46 years, and they looked tremendous. And, you know, the first time I was married, like, you know, just under an hour. It was like my friends would come over to my house. I was already like a burglar in my own home. I mean, they'd come over and say, Daryl would say, oh, shut up. She's right. Now, you see, like, if you guys laugh at that at all, it's because you must know what it's like to drop a towel on the floor and hear an alarm go off because you broke a rule, the kind of rule which exists only in a house full of love. Yes, you know, yes, here you'll find rules for the bathroom, rules for the kitchen, rules for the sweet and low dispenser. That stack of dishes in the sink, how long can they stay there? You'd better know. Because somebody knows. And since there's only two of you on the rules committee, how much you want to bet it ain't you. Now, you don't get divorced because the thrill is gone. It's because you don't know how to stack the tapes right underneath the VCR. Or you put the spoon... My wife would get so mad at me that the hole in her mouth was no longer big enough for all the topics to come out at one time. And she'd like yell at me as I'm being yelled at by an auctioneer, like, Daryl, damn it! $100 bid, $100 seat, $100 bid.
Kiss. I don't know what that means.
You got a boy, and you got a girl. And they put their lips together, you see, and they kind of slide them around.
When I kiss you, and the northern girls with the way they kiss,
and I've never ever kissed a woman before,
I will kiss you,
and we kissed a little more,
when you kiss me.
Well, I hope you get some tonight, or that you got some over the weekend. If you got any left over, you might want to set it aside for me. All right. I got enough for about three podcasts here today. So a lot of the stuff that I had trying to get to today is going to spill over to tomorrow's podcast. Please do me a favor and continue to spread the word. Let as many people know that we are here every weekday morning at about 7 o'clock at jcontheline.com. We've made it as easy as possible. There's no paywall. You don't have to enter a bunch of personal information. You go to jcontheline.com, you click play, and the thing starts running. You know that already because you were here, but a lot of your friends might not know that. We do politics only when it is absolutely unavoidable. Please help keep us in the top 10 of all podcasts in the country, which is where we are right now. Email me, JC at JCOnTheLine.com. Facebook, The Showgram with JC Corcoran. I did a video message yesterday I think you'll get a kick out of, so you can check that out. Even with the lockout, football's over now, so baseball is going to be right around the corner. Enjoy your Valentine's Day today. Talk to you bright and early tomorrow morning at 7 right here at jcontheline.com. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.